seca, todo el mundo en pandilla, en la discoteca.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Andy with the RSL Show. I am here with Joshua Clark. We're at the stadium at Rio Tinto. Tom Hackett's here as well. He wants no part of this. We got Luca, and we also got Brian Dunseth. Johnny, say what's up to the RSL Show, dude.
Hey, when are we gonna like hang out again? When am I gonna be invited to come hang out? Like, maybe we could do foot golf. Josh and I were talking about
do a show session,
do some videos.
We could do some stuff like that. Yeah, dude, I would love to do a day in the life with you as, like, you're prepping for the match and then you're up in the broadcast booth.
Yeah, let's do it. It's super boring. Like, I wake up, I get on the trail. I go to soccer for the boys. So you can come running with me on the trail.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we'll get you up.
Yeah, maybe we'll skip that part, you know? Also, we got Scott. Scott's a brand new RSL fan. You guys just met Scott. We're going to introduce Scott to all of the RSL fans. Scott, what's the best RSL podcast out there? I know you're brand new, but which one's your favorite?
There's so many to choose, but I'm gonna say the RSL Show.
And why? Because we got you into the booth for the next match. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Donnie gave it a spot, but still, cool. Best podcast ever.
Awesome, dude. Hey, just a quick question. So, like, what made you support RSL? Because I met you at the airport. We were there for the Severino, getting off of the airplane. But, like, when did you decide, or how did it kind of come along that you were going to support Real Salt Lake?
Well, it all started when I had my first game back in, like, 2018 when RSL played with Montreal, and they tied, right? It was a surreal experience, right? But it's during the time I didn't like soccer and, like, or football. I apologize for the Latino fans. But,
come on, dude, let's do it. You got Tyler Gibbons walking by. Hey, dude, what's up? How you doing? You're looking great. All right, sorry, go ahead.
And so, during this time, I didn't like soccer. Like, oh, RSL. Most of my friends think, like, oh, MLS is, like, the terrible league. But, like, I had a trip to Peru, right? And I saw the national team play World of Country, right? And it's surreal when, like, your whole country was celebrating over a goal. And that's when I played interest. I played FIFA. Yeah. I tried to avoid RSL during that time because I had a mentality believing that, like, oh, MLS is not a good league, like Premier League or like La Liga, right. But until then, I see the community of our soccer about in England, how like they have crowds, they have chants, and I was like, I should watch one of this game one day. My dad bought tickets for the 2021 season with Houston. No, FC Dallas between RSL. I didn't know anything about it, about any RSL culture at all, and then. So after the game, when they won the game, it was a surreal experience because it was so loud when they made a goal. The supporter group, it wasn't like that big until like this season, but still, they were loud, they're proud, and then I went to the social media. Shout out to the admin, bro, the best L tweets when we always win the game. But yeah, then after that, we went to the playoffs. The playoff literally convinced me, like, yep, this ain't like the league that I remember, like, way back in 2006, retirement league, basically, but it's not anymore. We have good players.
Yeah.
We have, like, players that have a future in other leagues around the world.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see them in the beginnings. And also, when the first game was Seattle during the snowstorm, it was pretty, I was there, like, the whole game. Wet with the flag. When do you know who made the goal for the Seattle?
Who scored? Do you remember?
Like, against us for Seattle?
No, for RSL.
Was it Demir?
I don't know. Was it the match where the there's like footage of who threw the snowball?
No. That's not this year. This was the first game at home this year. I honestly can't remember.
Home opener.
Yeah. I can't remember, to be honest right now.
Well, We don't really follow Real Salt Lake.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding.
No, but yeah, after that, and then the New England game, right? When they're like when they're losing by 2-0, I was like, oh.
Bobby Wood, or Marcelo. Dunny doesn't even know, so we get a pass.
But what's it called? When Taters made that goal in New England Revolution. All my friends jaw dropped because they're the same people that said, "Oh, RSL suck. They're terrible." Remember, New England won the supporter shield,
Yeah.
And we just defeated them. And so,
big deal.
And I was like, yeah, I'm going to stick in the club. Made some friends in the report in the supporter group. Shout out to La Badia, to the other rest of the supporter group. And I'm just like here forever. Like, I have my own scarf. I'm planning to get my own shirt.
Gonna get a tattoo? Mom won't let you. You're still pretty young, huh? How old are you?
I'm like 20 years old. And
20
so,
years old, hey.
I can't drink beer, and so.
You can't drink beer yet, bro.
I got this one at 21 right here.
Yeah, you got a tattoo back in, yep. Josh is showing off his tattoo, his RSL tattoo. Well, dude, we're grateful to have people like you, man. Like, we're in our 30s, and so it's cool to see, like...
Some young guys.
Young guys, new generation popping in with new passion.
I need this amount of passion back in my fandom.
Yeah, you do.
The RSL show's kind of killed it, but...
Yeah. So it's cool, man. Where are you from? Are you originally from Salt Lake?
Oh, yeah. I was born and raised in Salt Lake, but in my heart, I'm Peruvian, and
yeah,
so...
Yeah, of course.
But, yeah, it was nice... It's just nice to support basically my local club.
Who's your favorite player currently on the roster?
Well, when I was a little kid, Beckerman. Uh-huh. But for now, there's so many. Well, like during this record like in May 2022. But during the playoffs, it was Achoga. Big one is villainous saga. But for now, might be Krylak. Oh, sorry, Krylak or. Or Severino, because I saw how he played in Brazil, and I'm excited what he can bring here.
Cool, man. Well, it's nice to meet you, bro. We're happy that we're going to be able to get you up in the booth with Dunny. Dunny's always hooking up the fans, and he loves the fandom out here. And we're excited to see, like I said, just new blood.
I also bring one thing.
Oh, yeah, one more thing.
Actually, I'm planning to do something, like bring more experience for the supporter groups, bring more instruments and stuff like that. So, like... Because, RSL's not, like, MLS don't talk about RSL too much. Even the TVs, they won't even show our games. Like, I'll bring something that even, like, apologies for my language, every national TV to broadcast our game. I'm planning to do something big, but.
Sick, bro. Okay, I love it so much, dude. Hey, it's nice to meet you.
If you want to talk to someone about, helping the culture or whatever, the guy sitting in the corner, I can introduce you. His name is Zach.
Is it the best?
Yeah, he's the liaison between RSL and the supporter section. Yeah, cool. So as long as you know who to reach out to, that's the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
Well, thank you very much.
Nice to meet you. Hey, what have you thought about, the last result, Real Salt Lake, and just, the overall mentality of the team?
Oh, with Montreal? What's it called? It was Sunday, right? And I was just doing my basic routine. And then when I turned the game on for the first seconds, right, goal, I was like, no. It's like a typical another day of RSL losing in away games. Ooh. But what's it? But after the two goals made by Glad and Cordova, oh, wow. That brings back, hope of, bringing back the same excitement I had when they played New England.
Yeah, brings back the fire. Very cool, man.
Unexpected win, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Cool, man. Well, again, it's nice to meet you, bro. Happy to have you here. It's a beautiful day at the Riot. Next up, let's talk to Tom Hackett a little bit about his RSL experience. I'm actually hopping a chair right now. I'm coming down. What's up, dude? How you doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, man. RSL show, part of KSL Sports, so we can talk to Tom Hackett. Tom, you threw out an interesting question on Twitter asking if RSL is a MLS Cup contending team, and you got some kind of mixed reviews. And so what is your take on what you've seen out of the club, and are you optimistic that this team can do a formidable run towards the cup?
Of course I think they can, which is why I posed the question to a lot of pessimistic fans. But I just think that given Pablo's success last year in the postseason, he was able to achieve something very few, if any, thought was possible, and the team has only upgraded, in my opinion, and I think I share the same sentiment with the fans. A lot of talented players that have joined the roster since last year, Severino being the latest, Sergio Cordova, Scotty Caldwell even has played a pretty profound role in 2022. So. I think, I don't think they're going to be favored to win the MLS Cup anytime soon, but they currently sit high up in the Western Conference. They've had a pretty tricky schedule to start the year, and things are going to get a bit easier. So assuming they take care of results at home, they will find themselves high up the West when it matters most. And so I think they can. I think they can contend for an MLS Cup. And I don't say that with any bias. I truly think that they're good enough.
Well, the you know, the biggest narrative online right now is that, and I'm even guilty of this, right? I said, hey, dude, like all of our goals, most of our goals are coming from defenders. Sergio Cordova obviously bags a goal in the last match. Do you think that opens up the floodgates for him? Are you kind of liking what you're seeing, or have you heard anything from like the coaching staff on how aggressive he should be?
Well, I think that you could have probably guessed that at the start of the year. Sergio Cordova, brand spanking new to Major League Soccer, trying to acclimatize to his new team, to a new league, and so it was always going to take him a few games to kind of prepare accordingly. But I think what we've seen over the last couple of games is he's become more selfish. He's looking to score more goals. He's not looking to pass it off, which is what every striker should do. And then you look at Bobby Wood, who really kind of didn't play a ton last year due to injury. He's in good form, or good health, I should say, and I think the form will follow. So those two are developing a pretty good partnership, and I only see that getting better. And then you add in Jefferson Savarino, who is world class, and he will add to the creativity in the attacking third. And I don't think anybody's gonna debate me on that. That is kind of what he does. Really, he's not much of a goal scorer, although he can. He sets up players, but he opens up spaces for his teammates to work into. And so I'm very optimistic that goals will start to flow from some of the more attacking players. And I'm not overly shocked that a lot of the defenders have had to carry a lot of that burden throughout the start of the year, because the roster is, or at least was, set up for that.
So I'm having a peek over at the circle right now. It looks like the players are close to wrapping up. We're going to obviously get an interview. We have an interpreter who's here to talk to Savarino, and I think we can get Pablo as well.
I think so.
But right now, clearly, I don't see a David Ochoa in that circle, do you?
No, I don't. He's
yeah. So that's kind of been the topic of discussion, and I kind of want to get your take on that. Obviously, there's articles being written, and whether it's real news or fake news. What's your opinion on like David Ochoa not starting, and maybe, you know, the narrative of personal reasons? Is there anything that you could speculate to that?
Well, it's professional football, and he was injured in the preseason. Zach McMath filled his void, played superbly, and is continuing his good run of form. And David Ochoa has to beat out Zach McMath, which clearly he has not done. And so maybe that there are things going on behind the scenes that we can speculate about and probably be pretty close to being accurate on, and that is that David Ochoa is not working hard enough to beat Zach McMath out. So I think it's pretty black and white. I think it's pretty simple. I think it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. Until David Ochoa decides to come to practice and train, then Zach McMath's going to keep the job. And that's the way. Ochoa's got 6 months left on his contract. We'll see what happens, but for now, it's Zach McMath. And for good reason. He's playing really well. He deserves to be the starter. David Ochoa, a talented goalkeeper, will probably go on to have a tremendous career in Europe or Mexico or maybe here, but until that day comes, it's Zach McMath's job, and he's earned every right.
Well, very cool, man. We're happy to have RSL content brought to you exclusively by Tom Hackett and the RSL Show. Looks like we should go down and maybe get some interviews, yeah?
Yep.
All
Let's
right.
do it.
Cool. All right. So I'm going to try to just keep this whole thing fluid. Just walking down the steps to go do some interviews. We got Trey Fitzgerald at the very bottom of the steps. We got a translator, too. And there's actually some music. So we'll wait to kill that off and we'll be right back. Shout out to the sponsors at One Wire Fiber and KSL Sports.
Last time we spoke to you, Sava went through a fitness test earlier in the day and then had his first session with the group. He was off to the side for a portion of it. Has he developed and recovered as well as you had hoped?
Yeah, you know, again, I think it would be crazy to think that, you know, he'd be ready to start a game. Haven't not played in over a month, but he's been staying fit. And so obviously games are different. There's an emotional response. There's a hormonal response to every game. And those are things that you can't really mimic in training. And so what's important is that he feels good. And it's just about making sure we manage him in a way that we don't put him in a position to get injured.
And then word on the grapevine is yesterday him and Johnny Menendez kind of had their way in training, playing alongside each other. They dominated one side of the pitch. Obviously, Johnny unavailable this week, but down the road, I assume the two will probably take the pitch at the same time. Are you excited to see some of that come to life?
Yeah, definitely a possibility. And again, I think when you have players of Severino's quality coming into the group, it just adds to the confidence with the ball and the movement, knowing that the ball is going to be secured the right way. He's going to be looking for options the right way, and he finds those options. And so he becomes a very much a magnet in the attack and in the way players play off of him. So, again, these are all things that you know, we thought were going to manifest, and to see it in 2 days training has been great.
So anytime you bring a new player in, it takes however long for that player to kind of get in and create chemistry with the group. Anderson Julio, much like Savarino, a bit weird in the sense that they have played at this club before. Anderson Julio under you, Sava not. But do you feel like his integration within the club is fast forward because of the way he has played here in the past?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, you know, I asked him after the first day how he felt received by the locker room. He goes, I know all the guys. And for me, that's what it's all about, is when you have a feeling of comfort because you know the majority of the players in the locker room. That's a quicker integration versus coming in from a different country, not knowing the language, not knowing the club, not knowing the country, the league. So I think his integration will be real quick with this group.
Sergio Cordova, scored a goal last, kind of maybe a breakthrough goal. You've mentioned in the past that maybe once that first goal does get put in the back of the net, the floodgates could open. What have you seen from him this week?
Yeah, so again, confidence is a huge factor in most attackers' game. They believe they can score. They put themselves in position to score, and they shoot from angles that may not give them the best chance to score. But this week in training, Sergio's scored quite a few goals. And again, I think it all stems from being in that position at the weekend and putting himself twice in great positions to score. So the anticipation is that he'll be shooting more, and with odds that he'll be scoring more.
I know you don't spend much time, if any, online. The narrative is that a lot of defenders are scoring goals for this club and some of the attackers aren't bagging as many as they... But was that... I know it's not expected because nothing in this world is, but Bobby Wood didn't really have a great impact due to injury last year. Sergio's brand new to the club. They're developing as a partnership up top. Do you feel like now, at this point in the season, we're starting to get to a point where the expectation is that they start scoring goals?
Well, I think for themselves, I think they always have expectations to score. And like you rightly pointed out, every individual has different, there's different reasons as to why that might be. But what I will say is the positions that Bobby and Serge are taking in the final third are much more aggressive and in positions where they're more likely to score goals. And so I think, again, going back to the Montreal game, I think Bobby and Serge both had two really good opportunities to score goals. And the more they're in those positions, the more confidence they get in those positions, the likelihood is that they're going to score more goals.
Looking ahead to tomorrow night against Houston, what concerns you most on video? What are you most concerned about?
Yeah, I think they're a very direct team, and obviously we're going to want to, you know, push the tempo quite a bit. The space behind our back line is obviously a real threat, and they have great wingers that are always testing the back line, and they got players in the back line that aren't scared to play that ad nauseum. So for us, it's really about minimizing the space behind our back line by dropping. Having good body shape and being able to deal with those first balls in behind. But more importantly, we can really find a lot of success picking up second balls while they're sending players forward and breaking through the lines and starting our own attack and transition.
Are you enjoying life? The only reason I ask is because your job is it's stressful. There's a lot going on, but you're in a good. The team's in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, I think the key as a coach is you don't get too high and you don't get too low, and that's why. Staying away from any kind of social media is the key to any kind of normalcy in your life. And basing your happiness with training with your eyes and what you feel, same thing in games with your eyes and what you feel, and knowing that we've shown we can do a lot of different things with this group, given different types of personnel, and so that mentality piece, the willing to overcome difficult circumstances, and now I feel like we have a good balance of the way we want to attack and being dangerous and the way we want to defend and being difficult to beat.
So you are happy? Come on, Pablo, you got
to smile. Happy's a strange word for me. Happy's happy would be having my family in Utah.
Do they get to visit?
My wife comes in on weekends, and my kids are in high school, so you know how it is.
Some holidays though.
It's tough, Tom.
Yeah.
It's tough. But again, I'm really proud of the group and really proud of the development. Again, it's not about me. It's about watching these guys really take on the information, express it in their own ways, and getting results doing that. That makes me feel proud. I wouldn't say happy. I think that's an elusive feeling. For me, it's trying to be as calm and as balanced as possible while enjoying the fruits of all this labor.
Well, I empathize with your family situation, but at least the team is playing well, and they seem to be doing what they're told, which always helps.
Yes, and they're doing it in their own way, and I think that's ownership. And again, if you do, it's like doing anything for anyone else. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't feel the same. But when they take the structure and then improvise from a structure, that's creativity. There's no structure, then it's chaos, and everyone does what they want. So from that perspective, they've taken it, they're running with it, expressing themselves, and like I said, most importantly, they're managing games, whether we're up a goal, whether we're down a goal, to stay in games, to maintain the lead, and that for me is a sign of growth within a group.
Well, best of luck tomorrow night. Thank you for your time, as always.
Thanks,
thank you, Pablo.
Thank you,
man. Sava, last time we spoke to you was after your first day of training. You said you felt good. How have you felt since then? Has your body reacted in the way that you had hoped?
Sava, la última vez que hablamos contigo fue después del último entrenamiento. Dijiste que te sentías bien. ¿Cómo te sientes ahora? ¿Qué tal se siente tu cuerpo? ¿Cómo ha reaccionado?
No, la verdad, ahora me he sentido muy bien. Como todo, tenía días parados entrenando individualmente. Quizás las piernas se cansarán un poco, pero ganando minutos partido tras partido, pienso que iré mejorando partido tras partido y conforme a la decisión que tome el entrenador también.
Well, I'm feeling good. There are some days that I had been training by myself, basically. So maybe my legs are going to get a little bit tired. But as I play more and I get more minutes in the field, I think that definitely it's going to get better and better progressively. And it also depends on the coach's decision.
Is the locker room as you remember it? Is the vibe and the culture in the locker room similar to when you left in 2019?
¿Y cómo está es el locker room? ¿La vibra, la cultura es similar a como lo dejaste en el 2019?
Sí, aquí el camerino pienso que es el mismo, hay muchos latinos, los americanos también son muy buenas personas, me dan confianza, son todos humildes y para mí eso es muy importante para adaptarme lo más rápido posible y poder jugar, que es lo más importante.
Yes. Everyone in the locker room, there's Latinos, the Americans, everyone is great. They're all very good people. I feel confident when I'm with them, and everyone's really humble. I think that's really important. That's what's more important for me for adaptation as soon as I can, as soon as possible. And playing, in the end, that's the important thing, to play.
I know you spoke with Sergio Cordova prior to you coming here. I heard that yesterday you and Johnny Menendez were dominating the training session. Do you feel like you have more chemistry with certain attacking players already just 3 days into this whole thing?
Yo sé que ayer hablaste con Sergio Córdoba y también durante la práctica de ayer con John Menéndez, ustedes fueron los que dominaron la práctica. ¿Crees que tienes química con algún jugador específico, tomando en cuenta que nada más tienes 3 días jugando?
No, la verdad pienso que eso se va dando partido tras partido. Con Córdoba, por supuesto, ya he jugado en la selección de Venezuela pero partido tras partido vamos a ir comunicándonos tanto con los americanos como con los latinos, con todos. Y yo soy un jugador que siempre estoy dispuesto a asociarme con todos mis compañeros, sea quien sea, y para mí eso es lo más importante.
No, well, I think that it depends. As I play more matches, I'm going to have more chemistry with each of the players. With Córdoba, I've had play with him before for the Venezuelan team, so I think that's part of the reason why. But the communication has been great with the American players, Latino players, with all of them, and I try to socialize and to be able to communicate and get to know all of them, and I think that's the most important.
What is the biggest difference between Real Salt Lake and Atlético Mineiro?
¿Cuál es la diferencia más importante entre Real Salt Lake y Atlético Mineiro?
Sí, son dos equipos muy diferentes, dos ligas muy diferentes, jugadores muy diferentes, por supuesto. Aquí hay jugadores nuevos, como jugadores buenos, como en Brasil hay jugadores buenos. Y lo más importante es no hacer comparaciones, lo más importante es seguir aquí aprendiendo en el Real Salt Lake de mis compañeros, tanto los latinos como los americanos, y bueno, ir para adelante, que es lo más importante, y seguir confiando en Dios que aquí las cosas saldrán de la mejor manera.
Well, both things are actually quite different. Those are also two different leagues. Every player is an individual. There's good players there. There's also in Brazil, there's also great players here. I think comparisons are not the best thing to make. What is important for me is to learn while I'm here in Real Salt Lake, to learn from the team, from my teammates, and to trust God, because I know that things are going to get better.
You were very good here from 2017 to 2019. How much better have you gotten in Brazil?
Te fue muy bien cuando estuviste acá desde el 2017 al 2019. ¿Qué tanto mejoraste en Brasil?
No, la verdad, por supuesto, gané más experiencia. Gané títulos, conquisté muchos títulos. En Brasil jugué con jugadores experientes como Hulk, como Diego Costa, Eduardo Vargas, muchos jugadores experientes que me ayudaron a ganar mucha más experiencia. Y bueno, todo eso que aprendí allá, ahora espero aplicarlo aquí en el Real Salt Lake, que para mí eso es lo más importante. Vine a ayudar a mis otros compañeros que estaban aquí, y bueno, espero en los próximos días seguir aprendiendo aún más aquí en el Real Salt Lake.
Well, I think I'm definitely more experienced. I was able to conquer many titles while I was there, and I was also able to learn from the players, very experienced players like Paul, Diego Costa, Vargas, that bring a lot of experience, and I've also learned from that. And I'm looking forward to applying what I have learned here in Real Salt Lake and to help my teammates. That's the whole reason what I'm here, and what I want to do in the next few days to learn even more.
And lastly, what do you hope to accomplish at Real Salt Lake second time around?
Okay, y la última pregunta, ¿cuáles son tus metas esta segunda vez que estás aquí con nosotros en Real Salt Lake?
No, la verdad, sabemos, como lo he dicho antes, la MLS es muy difícil. Los equipos aquí en la MLS enfrentarlos es muy difícil, pero bueno, vine a ganar cosas, vine a ganar algo con el Real Salt Lake, por supuesto. Esa es la meta y el objetivo que tiene el club, y bueno, vamos a ir paso a paso, si Dios permite todas las cosas puedan salir bien, y bueno, y podamos ganar títulos con este equipo, que es lo más importante.
Well, we know that all the teams in Major League Soccer are difficult. It's going to be a challenge for us, for the team, but I'm here to do my part and help the team win. I want to see Real Salt Lake win. That's my personal goal and the goal of the team in general. And, you know, it's just step by step and trusting God. I think that's most important. I would really like to see the team winning some titles.
Thank you, Sava. Best of luck. Thank you.
Gracias, Sava. Buena suerte.
Thank you, Ricardo.
Well, honey, 100 grams.